everybody's going to play practice. By the way, that's going to be a great production next Sunday. I hope you can make it and invite some friends. Going to be very good. A lot of music, a lot of talent, and a great message. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Psalm 95. I want to talk about the tranquility of a tender heart. The last couple of weeks, we've kind of been talking about being grateful and expressing that. And this is along that same line. And I'm going to start right away with the scripture. So if you have it, Psalm 95, would you please stand and I will read. All right, here we go. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah, in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. All right, you may be seated. The main thought here is found in verse 8, where it says, do not harden your heart. We need to keep a tender heart before God. Petra years ago sang a song that was kind of themed after these verses, and it said, don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let your love grow cold. May it always stay so childlike. May it never grow too old. Don't let your heart be hardened. May you always know the cure. Keep it broken before Jesus. Keep it thankful, meek, and pure. Pretty right on. We want to keep a tender heart. In verse 9, it explains that the Israelites put God on trial. You can find the references in Exodus, particularly chapter 17. This was the time when they were in the desert and there was no water for them to drink, and so they began to quarrel with Moses, and they grumbled and they complained, and they even, the scripture says, they tested the Lord saying, is the Lord with us or not? You know, they began to question, is God even here? Have you ever felt that and wondered that? Okay? Watch out, because that's a path towards the dark side. That's a path towards the hardened heart, because that's what they did. They quarreled, they grumbled, they tested God, and it really revealed that they didn't really trust God, and they were filled with unbelief. Now, let me be clear. I think asking questions from time to time is just normal, and you see that throughout the Psalms. We do that. People do that. But when you kind of persist in this can't be the way God wants things to be, and I can't believe God, and I can't trust God, then you're in trouble. Okay? And we often say, well, I would never do that. Those Israelites, they were dummies. But, you know, they saw what God did. They saw the plagues on Egypt, and God spared them. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They had manna from heaven and quail provided by God. But even with all of that, their hearts were hardened. Even after they'd seen all that God had done, their hearts became hardened. And I think sometimes we can do the same thing when difficult times come. So what are some things that lead to a hardened heart? You know, we can blame our circumstances. A lot of us have some hard circumstances. I don't deny that. There are a lot of people going through some very difficult times. But you really can't blame a hard heart on your circumstances. Ultimately, we choose whether we're going to have a hard heart or a tender heart. It's our choice, ultimately. Verse 10 gets to the heart of the matter. They forgot God's ways. Ultimately, that's what it was. They forgot God's way. It was because they didn't remember what God had done in the past. They didn't replay those miracles like they should have. You know, in the Old Testament particularly, there's a lot of scriptures that say, remember, don't forget. this stuff, and they set up stones to help them remember. And the idea was that even in generations to come, the descendants down the line would say, what are these stones about? And they would say, well, that's when God did whatever. You know, they were supposed to really work hard at remembering what God did. Last week we talked about that. The title last week was Remember. And when we forget and we don't practice remembering, it leads to destruction. When we don't intentionally remember what God has done, we tend to take the credit for it all ourselves. We tend to falter and fall into disobedience. We tend to waver in our faith. We tend to become complacent. You know, when we fail to remember God's power and we don't trust Him, Scripture says it can even provoke God when we get to that point that we're not really trusting Him. So we need to intentionally remember and even rehearse what God has done. We need to tell those stories over and over again. Don't let your heart be hardened. So here's how to keep a tender heart. It starts in verse 1 where it says, come. Make a decision, take action, and move closer to God. You want to keep a tender heart? Keep going closer to God. Now, sometimes when life is difficult or we have perhaps weakened in our walk, we don't move towards God. We either stay at a standstill, kind of hoping God will intervene, or worse, we actually walk further away from God in our frustration. That's a natural human tendency. Life has given me a bad turn. I'm mad at God. I'm walking away. But that's a dangerous path. Instead, we need to come to God, move closer to God. And there it says also that we should sing and shout for joy to the rock of your salvation. At the very least, can't we be thankful for the salvation God gave us through Jesus Christ? That was a real question I'm asking. Okay? No matter what life throws at us, what circumstances we face, if you're a believer, you've received salvation. We can always be thankful and joyful for that. That alone should help us find joy, even in the most difficult circumstances. Think of it this way. Because of God's grace and your faith in Jesus Christ, you get to go to heaven. Yeah. So no matter what comes our way, that's great news. So sing and shout for joy to the Lord of your salvation. There's a third century man wrote these last words to his friend, and he said, it's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I've discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they don't care. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. See, people in those days, they knew how to keep their eyes focused on God, no matter what circumstances came their way. Church, you can choose to be joyful. Joy comes from God, and it is not dependent on circumstances. Okay? Author Leo Buscaglia tells the story about the night after his father came home and said it looked as if he would have to go into bankruptcy because his partner had taken off with all the funds from the firm. So his mother went out and sold some jewelry to buy food for a sumptuous feast. And other members of the family scolded her for it. But she told them, the time for joy is now when we need it most, not next week. And her courageous act actually rallied the family. She was able to find joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And church, as believers, that should be true of all of us. We've received salvation. We've got the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you can choose joy, and you can sort of jumpstart your joy by expressing gratitude. That's what it says in verse 2. Come with thanksgiving. That's the way you get started on this path. Come with thanksgiving. There's always something to be thankful for. Okay? We've already talked about salvation, and I know I've said this one before, but it's good. Don't grumble because you don't have what you want. Be thankful you don't get what you deserve. Okay? Here's another one. A sink full of dirty dishes usually means that God has blessed us with plenty to eat. Right? So we could grumble about all these dirty dishes I gotta do. Instead, let's be thankful. We had plenty. And last week we talked about this again. When we remember God's goodness, it leads to fear of God, faith in God, and hope for a future. Remember God's benefits. You find these in Psalm 103. He gives redemption and restoration, refreshing and renewal. So let's never forget, but keep on remembering and actually talking about those things, expressing our gratitude to God and to others. We need to continually tell what God has done in our lives. Don't keep it all to yourself. Don't focus on your problems and obstacles. Instead, focus on God's goodness. Okay? Focus on God's goodness. And if it's the worst day of your life, and you're having a hard time focusing on God's goodness, remember your salvation. I've told you many times about my grandma's glad game. Just begin to say something you're thankful for, and it leads to another and another and another. And pretty soon, you'll find yourself out of your dumpy mood, and you'll be thankful. In fact, we have done that here on Sunday mornings where it's kind of, it's a little quiet. And then I'll ask people, what are some things you're thankful for? And we begin to express, and then pretty soon people are smiling and we're laughing. It changes the atmosphere. It really works, people. Okay? It says here to extol him with music and song. In the New King James Version, it says, make a joyful noise. So that's good news if you're not musically inclined. Okay? Just make a joyful noise. Okay? If you can't sing, you can just say, yay, God. Okay? But the idea here is our gratitude needs to be verbalized. Express it. Sing it. Shout it. Make a joyful noise. I want to pause right here, and I want you to think of a thing or two that you are thankful for and just share it right there to the person next to you. What's something you're thankful for? I'll just take a break. Now, from my vantage point, you know what I see? I see smiles. I hear laughter. I'm telling you, this stuff really works. This isn't just some silly little exercise, but when you actually express gratitude, it changes something in your heart. It just does. It works. Do it. And then we're assisted by this because verse 3 reminds us that God is in control. It says he's the great God, he's the king above all. So your circumstances are no surprise to God. Your situation is not too difficult for God. He's the king above all. He is in control. Verse 4 talks about the depths and the peaks. And I interpret it this way. When you're down, you are not out of God's reach. And when you are up, God had something to do with it. Verse 5 talks about the sea, and when you're tossed about like on a sea, God is still the solid ground. He is still in charge. He is in control. That's who God is. I'm told around Greenland, in the sea waters around there, there's lots of icebergs, and some are small and some are large, and if you watch closely, you'll see that some are going one direction and some are going another direction, and first glance, it doesn't make any sense, but here's what really is happening. The little icebergs are being blown by the wind, But the big icebergs that go deep down into the water, they are moved by the deeper currents. We need to remember that God is the deep current. And as we're anchored in Him, we'll go with His flow and not with the winds of the adversities of life. The old song is, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." God is in control. He's in charge. It also talks about the dry land here. You know, when you feel burned out and weary, God is your strength. Anybody here ever felt burned out and weary? Yep, I'm raising my hand because I've been there. God is still our strength. In Psalm 63, the writer says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body yearns for you in a dry and weary land without water. You are my help. I will sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Yeah, we all go through those times where it feels like we're in the desert and there's nothing to drink. We're dry and we're burning up. But God is still our source of strength. And it talks about the shadow of His wing. And boy, is that some imagery. If you're out in the hot sun of the desert, God has His wings providing a shade for you. God is our strength. And then verse 6 kind of brings it back and it says, "Come again." It says, come. Choose to stay tender before the Lord. Take action to prevent a hardened heart. No matter the circumstances, we can trust God and keep a tender heart. Remember, He is always in control, and He will even use those nasty circumstances that we face, He will use those for our good. Have you read Romans 8:28? That's what it says. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. That's what He does. Somebody said, in adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job, but He wants to do an improving job. We want Him to just get rid of the troubles. And sometimes God says, no, I'm going to use this to make you better, to strengthen you. And then back in our scripture here, it says, bow down and kneel before the Lord. That's talking about surrender. Stop fighting God. Give up your struggle and simply trust Him. It's not in my notes, but I'm just recalling about, I've read about how they, in some places, they can capture monkeys with a trap. They put a banana in a cage. The monkey will reach in and grab the banana, and then he can't get his hand back out because he's hanging onto that banana. All he has to do is let go of the banana, and he's free. Sometimes we're just like that. We have difficult circumstances. We get into a wrestling match with our troubles, and we just will not let it go. And then we're stuck there. Sometimes we just need to let it go. And God will take care of it. Andrew Murray says, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. If you'll just give it up to God, He will take responsibility. Bruce Larson tells how he helped people struggling to surrender their lives to Christ. And he says, for many years I worked in New York City and counseled at my office a great number of people who were wrestling with these yes or no decisions. And often I would suggest they walk with me from my office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas with all his muscles straining, holding the world upon his shoulders. There he is, the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under the burden. Now, Now, that's one way to live, I'd point out to my companion, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. But now come across the street with me. On the other side of Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral, and there behind the high altar is a little shrine of the boy Jesus, perhaps 8 or 9 years old, and with no effort at all, he is holding the world in one hand. My point was illustrated graphically. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world, my whole world. That's our choice. Scott Wesley Brown, back in the day, sang a song, there is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, God cannot move it. There's no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There's no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe it. Oh, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If Jesus can hold the world in the palm of his hand, you think he can handle your problem? Okay. Verse 7 says, he is our God. In other words, he is with us. He never leaves us. He has our best interests in mind. He sees the big picture, and we can trust him. He's our God. It says that we are the people of his pasture. That means he provides for us. We are the flock under his care. He protects us. He's our God. And it says, today, if you hear his voice, church, hear his voice today. God is calling you. He wants to encourage you. God never leaves us. He is always watching over us. He is always reaching out to us. We may wander and stray, but God is always faithful. He is always calling out to you. Scripture even says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Always. And then verse 11 kind of wraps it up, talking about the rest that we can have in God. When we don't trust God, and we try to carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders, then we're not going to find rest. We get worn out, burned out, and sometimes we ultimately give out. That's what happens when we go astray and don't come near to God. And that's what happened to many of those Israelites in the wilderness. They didn't trust God. They turned away from him. They didn't trust him. And so they missed out on the rest that he offered them. He wanted to take them into a land where they would enjoy rest. They didn't really trust him. Church, we are not supposed to carry everything ourselves. We're not supposed to. I know the American thing is independence. And I'm a patriot through and through. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we need to be dependent, not independent. Okay? We need God. And this is the offer God is making us. Ultimate rest. Doesn't that sound good just to hear the words? Rest. That's what God offers. Rest. When we remember all that he has done and we trust in all that he can do, we can rest in him. We do not have to wrestle with all of life's problems. Instead, we can rest in God's presence. Your choice. Which one do you want? You want to wrestle or you want to rest? Whew. That's right. Third choice. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. See, God is not trying to burden us down and give us more junk. That's what the Pharisees did. God wants to lift the burden off of us and carry us. In Matthew 11:28, it starts, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary. burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the offer God is making. And if you know about agriculture, that's kind of an old farming method where they would hitch a couple of cows together with a yoke around their necks, and they would drag the plow behind them, tearing up the ground. And the way they would train a younger new cow is they would put it with an experienced cow, and the experienced one would do all the work. The inexperienced one just felt the yoke is all, and would just kind of tag along. And that's really what Jesus is saying. Put his yoke on, because he's the experienced cow, if you will. He knows what he's doing. He's got all the strength. All we have to do is go with him. He does it all. Or you can wear your own yoke. Try to plow the field all by yourself. Never tried that, by the way? Okay? I've never done the actual old-time farming, but Mom used to have us work in the garden. We had to do one of these little push things in the garden because we didn't have the power tools back then. That's hard work. And what Jesus is talking about here is a bigger, tougher field than that. That's what the world offers us. And he says, I will do the heavy lifting. You just come along with me. He offers us that kind of rest. So don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let troubles and circumstances do that to you. Come to Jesus. Come with thanksgiving. Remember that little exercise we just did a few minutes ago, where we shared some thankful things and pretty soon we're smiling. Do that. Put your trust in him. Give your life with all its problems over to him. And ultimately, rest in him. Oh, doesn't that sound good? You tired of struggling with all your own issues? Rest in Jesus. I think I'm preaching mostly to people who have walked with the Lord for a while, and you just need a reminder to keep coming back to Jesus for your strength. But if there's anybody here who has never really come to Jesus in the first place, why not today? Come to Jesus now. Give your world up to him. Would you like to do that? I'd love to pray with you about that. I've said before, you've been in charge of your life for how many years now? And look what a mess it is. Why don't you let God be in charge and see what he can do with it instead? Let's just pause here for a moment before we wrap things up. Lord, if there's anybody in the house today who has yet to come to you for salvation, I pray that today would be the day. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. Draw them to you. And if that is you, really, it's not that complicated. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Then say so and ask the Lord to come into your life and take charge. Give your life to him. He will come in and he will do a much better job than you ever did. Trust the Lord. Lord, I pray again, if there's anybody here today, that that's the first time that you would really speak to their heart. Help them to follow you wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now before we go, I want to just kind of open the altars up, or not comfortable at the altar, just wherever you are, let's take a little time and just come to Jesus and remember what he's done and kind of release some things to him. Perhaps you've been carrying some heavy weights around. It's time to just let it go. Trust the Lord. There's going to be some music playing. It's actually that old Scott Wesley Brown song. I encourage you to find a place